This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kids' legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids.
We only met a month ago.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And happy Saturday. I was very confusing for most of yesterday as to what day of the week it was. But good morning to you. Hope you had a happy 4th of July. It is the Going Low Show. Across from Craig Mankins, I'm Chris Muller. Joel Nelson producing today's broadcast. I am tired. And it's not because I had an over-festivity kind of day. I'm just tired, Craig.
That happens July 4th. Hopefully, did you play golf yesterday?
I did play golf yesterday. That's the other. I'm tired and I'm not beaten, but it was another one of those rounds people like me have so many of, Craig. And you know, I like to take our hour here sometimes to just be completely selfish, mm-hmm. and to sort of get on the therapist's couch with a PGA professional who can, you know, like the therapist, "Oh, and then that happened." And then the therapist goes, "Oh, and then you did that." Yeah, and then that happened. I was at Suncrest Golf Course yesterday, and it's always in very good shape, and I had a couple realizations. Man, that course is a lot tighter and a lot like more tree-lined and a lot more if you are not in position off the tee, which you know is still my big bugaboo, you can be pitching out and trying to more scramble for pars than attack for birdies. It is a tough-rated course. Anything 72, right?
Yes.
You see 72, I don't care what the course looks like. It must be tough for a reason. Well, I went out there, and I was playing with a couple buddies early in the morning, and weather couldn't have been better. It was not one of those hot summer days. It was like a nice summer morning.
No, it was perfect.
It was a perfect day to play golf, and up and down for a par on one. Or no, I'm sorry. Nice two-putt birdie. Nice recovery on one. Two-putt par. Oh, should have made it. Up and down from like 45 yards, par on two. Mm-hmm. Up and down from about 30 yards short of the green on a par three. Just chunk the tee shot, up and down for another par. Make a bogey on four.
Okay.
Outrageous par, two-putt par on a par five, number five.
Okay.
Pretty outrageous par on number six. I'm one over, baby. Let's do it. Triple bogey.
Oh, boy.
Triple bogey from a place that could have been...
Unforced error? What happened?
Okay tee shot. Should have hit a little punch shot from kind of under a tree. Tried to hit a lofted shot.
Uh-oh.
Instantly in trouble. Could have just taken a little 8-iron, whacked it up there 50 yards. Probably made... Had
bogey
a chance to make
worse.
It... Oh, no. Would have made par.
Oh, there you go.
That's how short... That's how close we were. Might have even snuck one on there if it went in the right direction and made birdie. Who knows? Made seven.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Bogey the next hole, par 41 going out. Not the worst. And then the triple train and double train started. Shot 88.
Oh, boy.
How do we break this? Good enough to scramble around. I was playing tipped out, too. Course can't play any longer or tougher.
Did you have fun with your buddies?
I did. And we won the match, my cart.
There you go.
Now, see, this is what's in there. I'll tell you what's in there for me. Because of my hot start, because I was, I think, the best player we had, we were all popping off of him, and he was like a two. Mm-hmm. So I was getting like 12 or 13 or something. It was delightful to get that many strokes. We got a huge lead going because of me at the start. We almost 5-4'd them on the front. It was very close to a bludgeoning. I think we won 4-2. We gave away, so $5 Nassau, so we won the front. Gave away that entire lead for the match on the back. We got trounced for the most part.
Yep.
We get to 15 knowing we can't win the back. 15 at Suncrest, for those who have played it, from very high up on the back tees, dogleg left par 4, can't see the green, but you know you got to try to hit it around, but you got to hit it far.
Yep.
10 yards short of the green, chipped up birdie. My teammate also birdied. We won the hole. We ended up winning the match. They pressed on the 18th. They made a putt to chop the press.
Oh.
But it's in there somewhere. Hammering a drive, making an easy birdie when the team needs it.
Yep.
Albeit completely no pressure because my partner made the putt before I made my little four-footer. Mm-hmm. I just, Craig, I cannot. I'm on the therapist's couch here. I just cannot put it all together for 18 consecutive holes of golf.
So I have a great question for you. And this is a good one for all the amateurs out there listening. Everybody that has a USGA gin handicap.
Yep.
Do you know how many times you're supposed to shoot your handicap? So let's say your handicap's an 8. Do you know how many times you're supposed to
shoot 8 over?
Uh-huh.
In what? And how long of a span? 20 rounds?
And let's, yeah.
Probably 2 or 3.
Let's just make it easier for you. 4 rounds.
1.
1 out of 4. Correct.
Well, guess what? My course handicap was a 16, and I was 16 over. So
there you go.
So the system apparently works. But I think I'm better than I am, Craig, and that's the real story here. And maybe the real story is I'm not.
Chris, we all do, but I'm going to tell you something my good buddy Devin Gee said. It's a hard game. It's a hard game.
It's not forgiving.
Correct.
It's not a forgiving game. Mm-hmm. But it's you know what I'm suffering from right now. Oh, this is stupid. I'm so mad. I can't wait to get back out anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you play yesterday?
I did. We did play.
How'd it go?
It went well. We played there were 12 of us playing SWAT at Hangestown.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting fun fact.
Can I stop you for? I have a question. Mm-hmm. Don't lose your interesting fun fact here.
No, by the way,
if you're listening to Going Low today, we just finished up the Rocket in Detroit, and it's the John Deere. It's silly season a little bit. Before the Open Championship. We're not going to be sitting here talking Aldrich Potgieter for 20 minutes. I mean, I could, but we're not going to. Did the term SWAT as just like you go out and play a little game, mm-hmm. did that originate at Oakmont? Is that like an Oakmont thing
that you're
aware of?
And you know what that stands for, single without a time.
Really? Mm-hmm. I did not. So now I learned something.
Single
without a time.
Without a time.
I can honestly say maybe this makes me a bad golf show host. I never knew that.
Most people do not. And here's the funny part about that. I guarantee you the boys at Oakmont know where that came from. And that's the longest known SWAT that
in the country that I've heard.
Correct.
Of.
Correct. In which.
But isn't the irony that if you started off and it's single without a time and then you actually have like a 12-man thing, then you kind of do have a time probably at that point?
Well, what happens though is everybody signs up as an individual. So it goes from 1 to 2 to 5 to 7 to 9, and then they get the groups together and then you put them together. That's the same thing, you know. Now, obviously, you're restrained because if your group can only book 3 tee times, the max people you can have is 12. But like we do, we have a group of 30-some guys on our little app on our phone, and first 12 or 16 to sign up, if you know,
first
depending
come,
on
first
how many
serve.
Times. Correct.
Absolutely. So what's the fun fact?
Well, no, the fun fact, I'm standing on number 12 yesterday with my friend Howie Alexander, and Howie says, Craig, 20 years ago today, one of the most unbelievable things happened. I said, Howie, what was that? He said, our friend Will Miller on number 12 at Hangestown, par 5, short one. You know, a lot of guys get on in 2 there, you know, if they can hit the ball out there. Knocks it in 2 for an albatross, okay? The rarest shot in golf,
the rarest
right?
bird there is.
Yep, those guys are high-fiving.
Uh-huh.
They make their way to number 16 at Hangestown, 300.
Still on that big high.
Still on that high. And Don Dubiak.
16 at Hangestown. I'm thinking of 6. I'm visualizing 16.
It's you tee up back against the fence, short drivable par 4, 2 bunkers guarding it on the right and the left. You have to slide it through the little sliver.
Yep.
In the front.
Okay.
Don Dubiak knocks it in for a hole in one.
How far is that hole?
It's only 300 and it's basically 308 yards.
Okay.
306
Doable
yards.
Doable even 20 years ago with the technology of 20 years ago.
But they submitted it to Golf Week and Golf Digest, and the odds makers at that time, they couldn't even come up with what were the odds of not just one, but 2 albatrosses in the same nine holes in the same group of guys. Think about that.
I wonder if the odds would change if it's two different guys versus like one guy. If, you know what I mean? Like if the one player was the best player, he would have better odds theoretically, not by much. Well,
we'll think about this, Chris.
I also can't imagine, because usually you would say that the albatross is rarer and more impressive because it's coming from further away, than a hole in one. But the 308 yard albatross hole in one, I feel like is even better.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
I would have gone completely insane for the first one. I might have fallen over after the second one goes in.
Well, the 300 yard you would think was better, but think about the 490, 500 yard par five. You have to hit two shots. And he's covering a lot more ground there.
So, he is. Yeah. I mean, no,
you're right. They're both unbelievable. And I laughed and I said, I told Howie, I said, I'm bringing that up tomorrow on the air. So here's what we need.
I can't fathom it. That's like Steve Blass having two aces in one round.
Now, correct. Now, time out. Now, we have all these betting sites out there for all these prop bets and all these things. I told him, I said, we're going to figure out what the odds are for that one eventually down the road.
I probably could do it here on my phone, and it would have to be, I don't even think they might not even give odds at most of the major books for player, you know, whatever player to make an albatross. But I would imagine, Craig, I was trying to make sure my face would get recognized so I could enter my code here and get in. I would imagine that you're looking at player to just make a straight up albatross. Like on a tour event, it's going to be different because those are the best players on earth.
So
like they're obviously going to have worse odds.
Right.
About this. I'm going to do some digging, but I would imagine that's like getting struck by lightning twice on the same day or twice 20 years apart, because I feel like the same day, actually, you'd be more likely.
Probably in the right arm, too.
Yeah. I mean, my thought is, if I'm the guy who made the first albatross, I'm actually ticked off that I don't get to share my day with somebody or that I have to share that experience with somebody on some level.
Right.
It's not just you made an albatross. That's awesome. Then he gets to say, well, I made a hole in one that also was an albatross. I think I'd be ticked.
That's unbelievable. I can't even, I mean, it's.
How many holes in one do you have?
Four.
Four?
Mm-hmm.
Still don't have one. You have any albatrosses?
No.
So my uncle, who's the best kind of he wasn't recreational. I mean, he played in the second round of the mid-am. So he was, I guess the mid-am is for more recreational ams who are never going to go pro, never intend to go pro. He's made a couple of ones, and he's made a two and a five. And I guess my aunt was caddying for him, just walking with him and holding the bag at his home course in Cleveland years and years and years ago, 30 plus years ago, easily. No, 40 years ago. And, he hits one on a blind par five from the fairway. Hits like a four wood. Back in the days where you actually were using like persimmon. And they look around, and it's that classic bit of he thought he had hit a good one, but he had just convinced himself, I probably hit it long. It probably took like a bad first bounce because you can't see the hole from where he hit it. He finally walks up and looks. And the ball is in the hole.
In the hole.
And he says to my aunt, Sandy, I just made it. I made it from the fairway. She said, is that good? She's not that much of a golfer. I think they hadn't been dating that long. Maybe I don't even know. I don't think they were married even. She goes, is that good?
That's pretty good.
Yep. That's what you kind of tend to remember. I've never had an ace. I hit a flag stick at a course that does not exist anymore called it was Erie Municipal Golf Course. First hole, 105 yard. I mean, so barely above what I would call like the allowable. Like you're just off the pitch and putt at that point. First hole, hit a wedge, dead at the stick, bounces twice. I was like a teenager, so it might have taken like a good first hop and it's rolling. My dad, my uncle, my cousin, all yelling, go in, go in, go in. Hits the stick dead center, shoots 3 feet to the left.
Wow.
We got up to the green. The stick was
leaned sideways.
In the cup. I did make the putt, though. There was some question as to whether I would make the putt in the group, but I did make it.
That's
I did
good.
Make the putt. Two albatrosses in the same round is insane, man.
It is insane. It's crazy.
By the way, really quick before we take a break, when you think of if people are out there at their club, whether it's a public club but you can join or a private club, the ultimate July 4th game, is it the red, white, and blue tees game?
It is.
Ultimate?
It is. Now you're going to laugh. You have a lot of people that love that game, and I had a lot of people used to tell me, "Pro, don't play that game."
I think every club I know people at has played that game yesterday.
Yep.
What do you here now that I brought it up? What is your opinion on somebody like me, just hypothetically, mm-hmm. I'm kind of an unusual 13 or 14 handicap right now. So I hit it far enough to play holes normally if I'm in play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jack Nicklaus, I think, wouldn't let his kids move back a tee box until they could shoot under par. How do you feel about for pace of play purposes and all that stuff? Because your gin handicap, if you have the app and you have the gin number, it can adjust what your playing handicap is. How do you feel about that as a thing that golfers should be doing, even if they're in their 20s? Go play the red tees. They're not the women's tees. They're the forward tees. Go play those until you can shoot
play the hybrids, play the whites.
What would be your number? Until you can break 80 from that tee at least, or even better, until you can break 75 from those forward tees. Well, you're a guy who can hit it further, but you're playing a short course at that point.
That's a great point by Jack, because it teaches you how to score. Because no matter how long the course is or how short the course is, you still have to score. So the short game is where all those strokes
are.
Chris, I want you to listen.
Okay.
Short game is where all those strokes are.
That's not my problem.
Okay.
The one hole was my problem. That's not my problem. I was getting up and down. I looked like Seve Ballesteros for the first couple holes yesterday.
But that's the trick, though, that gets you out of trouble, where instead of making a triple or a double, you wedge it up there.
Who is the best course management guy you've ever seen? Jack? As far as hitting the correct shot, they always say Scottie Scheffler hits the correct shot that the situation calls for.
Yeah.
That led to my first triple. I did not do that.
Yeah, the best.
Who's the best course management guy? Because I need a course management person. I would be a better golfer by 5 to 10 shots. Mm-hmm. I'd be either an 8 to a 5. If I just had a caddy permanently with me, mm-hmm. No, that's stupid. Hit this. No, that's stupid. You're good enough to hit this. Hit this shot.
Yeah.
Who's the best course manager?
Well, you got to remember, I grew up Jack. I mean, I saw him win the 85 Masters.
Well, he stunk out of bunkers, relatively speaking, didn't he? So he would just manage his way to avoid. He just played to avoid every.
They used to say the putter was his Achilles heel, but all I ever saw was him making putts.
No, I think I think he admitted he hated playing out of bunkers. By pro standards, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Still, best bunker player any of us would ever see if we were playing next to him. But he said I didn't feel great out of bunkers, so he just avoided
all the bunkers.
He said I'm just not going to hit it in bunkers.
Maybe that's why all of his golf courses have big greens.
I was going to say, that's a good thought. We got tour golf to talk about, too. Hope you had a good 4. Thanks for waking up with us on a Saturday morning here on Going Low. There was a first-time winner on the PGA Tour. He had a DP World Tour win, I believe, under his belt, but he's not even 21 yet, I don't think. He had to toast without alcohol. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the newest tour winner. They've got the John Deere going right now. Because I will not be here next weekend, I will be in perhaps the home of American golf, you could argue, Pinehurst Resort. We'll also talk Open Championship. He's Craig Mankins, PGA Pro. I'm Chris Muller. You're listening to Going Low.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kids' legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled BABBEL.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It is going low. Chris Muller, PGA Pro Craig Mankins, and hope you had a good fourth. And we have been talking, we've just been talking casual golf. This has been for one for the amateurs and the fun, you know, fun talk so far. We'll get into a little tour golf and maybe a little business of golf in a couple of minutes. But I did some research, Craig, during the break and tell you about it. I just tried to find the numbers here. So the Albatross, two of them, same nine. Two different players, same round at Hannahstown 20 years ago yesterday.
Yep.
You ask what the odds are. So, guy who wrote for a publication called Golf World said the odds of an Albatross, and I think this is kind of for the average player, or for a player who can at least get to a green in two,
okay,
because only 10% of golfers who play the sport will ever reach a par 5 in two.
Yeah.
So congratulations to you. Actually, congrats to me. I've reached a few par fives and two in my day.
Yep.
Only 10% of golfers will actually do that. So yeah. Only 10% by definition will ever have a chance. Odds of an Albatross are 6 million to 1. So the odds of two of them happening in the same nine-hole stretch, in the same group by two different players, I'm not... What you're thinking of here is 2 6-million-to-1 events have to happen within hours of one another. I would say you're well into the trillions, like, to one.
Yeah, it has to be something.
Like, I don't know how those odds would multiply. I was not that good in that part of math class, but...
I have one other good one.
Those are spectacularly against you.
I have one other good one.
All right.
So one of my basketball players that I coached at Greensburg Sale took up the game of golf.
Okay. Well,
obviously, my son was the best golfer on the basketball team, but his good buddy Ryan Thomas, picking up the game, can... Just like you, step up and hit it a mile. Short game?
Questionable.
Not so much.
Mm-hmm. Just like me.
He brought in his dad, good friend of mine, Chris, brought in a scorecard, showed me a scorecard. And I think he started on the back nine. Maybe he played all 18. I forget exactly. But he brought in, I just remember looking at the back nine. 10, double bogey. 11, double bogey.
Been there, done that.
12. Bogey. 13, double bogey. 14. And I don't know exactly. I'm just spitting it out. Triple bogey. Double bogey. Gets to 16. Hole in one.
You kidding me? First round ever?
No, not his first round ever, but he made a hole in one. And we laughed about it. I go, and here's a guy like yourself. You love golf and you've never had a hole in one. Not only does he get a hole in one, but he gets it on a par four.
Wait.
And he did it. And he did it with, he was playing with guys. I mean, it was all.
Seen.
Yeah.
Nightmare is I would make one with when I'm playing out by myself. That's a nightmare. Because then it's they did a big like a tour commercial or a commercial about that little kid making the hole in one, and the guy's like, "You got to buy me a Coke, young man."
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say, I completely lost the train of thought here.
Sorry.
No. It's a hole in one story.
Yeah.
Alex Ovechkin, first time playing golf.
Hole in one.
Hole in one. I think it might have been the first time he ever like swung a club.
Wow.
Like he swung and missed, but I don't even know if he was trying to hit the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he actually stepped up, it was a hole in one.
Wow.
Which has to be like the all-time astronomical odds. There is a rarer shot though that I also discovered in my research here, Craig.
What's that?
We get paid for our crack research here as hosts. That's why we make the big bucks. There have been 5 recorded stories of the following: a condor, a one on a par 5.
Five.
Here we go. This is a UK site. A guy named Larry Bruce in 1962 was in Arkansas, Hope Country Club. He drove the ball into the hole over a stand of trees, 480-yard dogleg par five, dogleg right.
So like a whole big horseshoe.
So presumably if you cut the dogleg,
yeah,
the hole is maybe 300 yards plus at most.
Right.
That's one. Guy named Sean Lynch cuts the corner on a 496-yard dogleg par five. He took his chances and, quote, hit the shot straight at the green with a 3-iron, which cleared a 20-foot-high hedge and hit a downslope on the other side, allowing his ball to roll down to the green and in the hole. Hey, I made a one on a par five. It was about 500 yards. I hit 3-iron.
Wow.
Another guy, this one doesn't go into as much detail, a 16-year-old kid in Australia, 467 yards. And then 2020, December 20th, this is insane to me. I don't even know how this could have happened, but it's recorded and they claim it's legit. A guy named Kevin Pond on a 667-yard par 6, the 18th hole, made a 1. Now, I have no earthly idea how you make a 1 on a 670-yard golf hole.
No.
But they're saying that these are recorded and, like, verified.
Verified.
Has to be playing 200 yards downhill. Fairways have to be rolling like a highway, like concrete.
Yeah.
You have to be the longest hitter in a 500-mile radius. And I think you have to have, what, 50-mile-an-hour down breeze? Then maybe we can make all those factors work.
I don't, you know.
That one feels not believable. Goofy 496-yard hole where the yardage is measured straight out and straight over.
Uh-huh.
All right, I can buy that, kind of. I cannot buy 667-yard par 6. Man makes a 1.
Sounds like a fish story.
Sounds like one to me. Speaking of guys who hit the ball mile, Aldrich Potgieter, 20-year-old South African, he wins the Rocket last week in a 5-hole playoff, and in doing so, becomes a winner for the first time on the PGA Tour. I will say this about this guy. He obviously is so young, he should get a ton better on all the finer points. Mm-hmm. There's some small part of me, even though the Rocket is not one of the big tournaments, mm-hmm. that is like frustrated that a dude who essentially plays a million times better version of my style of golf, mm-hmm. bomb the ball as far as you can, gouge it onto the green and hope you make enough putts that given day, mm-hmm. did it 4 straight days. Like, I don't love what that says about the state of technology for the pros, or like some of the way that the courses can or cannot challenge these dudes. He's just a ball speed guy right now. He might get a lot better. I'm not trying to slag him right now. That's a hell of an achievement. He's just hitting it 198 miles an hour off the tee. That covers up a lot of warts, Craig.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
And he's got some warts in his game. He does not have what you would call, you'd go watch him on TV and you'd be like, this guy's short game is not that good.
Well, it's funny you say that because I did watch him on TV. I watched him earlier in the year where he was in the playoff, and it was, again, you know, it seemed like one of the B tournaments for the PGA. And I think he was on the second playoff hole. And he bombed a drive out there. It looked like he was going to win because his playing opponent.
Oh, no, this was like Vedanta World. His playing opponent was the shortest hitter on tour.
Yeah, sliced it into the woods and
kicked
it hit
out.
The tree,
yep.
Kicked out, and then he ended up making the birdie to win. Like, I'll never forget. We were watching that live, and I go, oh, wow. You know, talk about a shell shocker. You know, you see the guy slice it, and you're going, game, set, match.
Correct.
And it comes back in. Yeah, amazing.
I don't know. I just, to me, like, for example, Potgieter, I would never pick him to win at Portrush because
mm-hmm.
I just feel like that test of golf, I know he played on the DP World Tour, so he's probably used to seeing more courses that are like that.
Is he from South Africa?
He is.
Yeah.
But like him at like a major just doesn't seem like it would ever fit to me. Different tests being asked. Like, I can't imagine that guy going to Oakmont, hitting it straight enough for 4 days, putting mm-hmm. the ball well enough. I don't know. It's like an open thought. When I watch golf, I say, is this dude like a legit baller here? Like,
mm-hmm.
when you see a 20-year-old guy who's 21-year-old Jordan Spieth, maybe you can convince yourself, all right, he putts the ball so well.
Yep.
He's good enough off the tee. He hits his irons pretty well. He's got a great short game. Like, yeah, I might be watching something really good.
Right.
I don't feel like I'm watching necessarily with Aldrich Potgieter.
Yeah.
And he's in contention again this week at the John Deere. I don't feel like I'm watching like the dawn of golf's next great star. I don't think the next Ernie Els.
Well,
is coming down the pike here.
Just remember, though, all those guys are so good.
And oh, I know. That's the understood thing here. Uh-huh. I'm not like saying he's a mm-hmm. bad golf. No, I get it. Like, he shows up at my club. He says, what's the course record?
Well, and
he probably shoots it.
Yeah. Well, and Chris, the other thing to remember is, you know, Confidence is a funny thing in golf. If he thinks he can beat them all, he probably can beat them all.
Well, he's did. I mean, he did it once. Mm-hmm. And once you, I mean, I would imagine once you win one of those tournaments, well, even if it's a it's one of the B-side tournaments.
And he was in the, I mean, he technically.
You're in a playoff. He did have to hole a putt. He made about a 15, 18 footer to win it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do think that that does obviously carry a ton of weight, but it's, I don't know. It's just.
It'll be interesting to watch him. Yeah, to watch him and see
like,
where
is he going to grow? Because like, if you somehow keep all the ball speed and stuff like that in the swing and you add a short game to it, then you have something terrifying.
Right.
But I mean, as you probably know, it's fun to work on the stuff you already do well. You go to the practice tier, like, I want to hit, what's your best club in the bag?
Putter.
Okay. I want to go to the practice screen. I just want to roll some, I'll roll putts for an hour. I'll make a ton of them. That's my best club. Mm-hmm. So I'll be interested to see how it goes. It's also, there's John Deere this week. Funny kind of state of affairs on tour. Got bigger names than you would normally expect in that tournament. Mm-hmm. Guys playing in that tournament right now, Craig, who kind of have to for purposes of qualifying for the Open. Dude, like Max Homa's in this thing, and he has continued to have to kind of battle his game.
Mm-hmm.
But you're seeing like, here's another example. I mean, this is a guy who I think it's a tough situation for the PGA Tour because he's still one of their most marketable players, and the performance just does not bear out that he should be. Ricky Fowler,
yeah,
made the cut on the number. The cut was minus five, by the way. So the John Deere is not exactly testing them to the highest degree, but you've got Ricky Fowler in this thing. Nick Dunlap's been fighting getting unstuck for a while. Zach Johnson's still out there grinding away. Matt Kuchar.
Siwoo Kim's up there.
Siwoo Kim, Homa. I mean, Davis Thompson. These are names. These are some names. Mm-hmm. Pot Geeter, we just talked about him. He's up there near the top. Like, it's not quite your typical B-side event here that the big names don't play. I mean, these are some recognizable people. Tristan Lawrence, who you have to say legitimately had a shot to win the Open. He's playing.
Yeah.
The U.S. Open. So these are always like the times where it's like if you really want to, I think if you were the tour, I would just be trying to show as many shots of golf as I could on these. And if I were somebody trying to get into golf on TV, I would just be like, show me everything. I don't care about any of the players in this tournament in and of themselves. Like, I don't need to see Doug Gim hit every shot today. I don't need to see Davis Thompson play every shot today. What I need is to see a ton of golf and show off the course. So,
yeah. How about here's a name from the past, Camilo Villegas.
Yeah, he's up there. You think he's still getting down there like he used to parallel to the ground?
Doing that yoga stretch. Or
when he's like probably, 40 almost right now? I would imagine that it's gotten tougher for Camilo Villegas to read putts the way that he was very famous for reading them.
Yeah.
Homa's a guy I would love to see for the tour's purposes play better.
Yeah.
He's like easily one of the most marketable dudes on the tour. Everybody likes him when he talks, like very personable and just cannot get out of his own way. Been fighting it pretty much all year. I say fighting it about a guy who's 11 under par. So there are scales and levels to this.
Yeah. He's only one shot back. He's got a good chance to put together weekend.
I would say he's the most, not tenured, accomplished player within a shot or two of the lead here. He should seize this tournament if, like, we're going by pedigree.
Well, there's a guy down there, though, 21st place, Cameron Kirk. He's been on a...
Chris Kirk's battled for a long time. Denny McCarthy puts the daylights out of the ball. This will be one... You know what this is for me? This is one to throw on in the background today.
Oh, yeah.
I throw this one on. I got the volume at, like, a 10. You can kind of hear it. You're kind of watching it. You're like, oh, yeah, what's Brian Campbell doing? Emiliano Grillo.
Yep.
Grillo, yeah. What's he doing?
Tomorrow, drinking lemonade or an iced tea or maybe a mixture of both and watch the end of this thing.
I might. I've been known to. I want to, since I won't have a chance to get into the Open Championship with you here next week when we would be doing a preview, we need to.
Yeah.
We're going to need, actually, yeah, we'll be talking about it midstream once I get back. So I'll be at Pinehurst next week. I think Jeff Hathorn likely to be pinch hitting. Get a little into the Open Championship at Royal Portrush. And I don't know if I've ever asked you the question I'm going to ask you about. It's a broad question about golf that I'll get into because of Royal Portrush coming up next. He's Craig Mankins. I'm Chris Muller. You're listening to Going Low.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster? I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet nibbles after his untimely end.
This is very strange.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mom, I'd like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026.
Soccer practice every week.
Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner.
When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation or innovators keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
We did have a local winner on the Hotel Planner Tour in Czechia. Palmer Jackson a couple weeks ago. I think this one slipped under the radar through the cracks. They were playing a tournament called the United States Open at Oakmont that day. But he was overseas. It's the Raiffeisenbank Golf Challenge. Golf Resort Cascada, there's Palmer Jackson destroying the field by six under, or by six shots, 21 under for the week. That looks to be what, the European Challenge Tour's like rebrand?
It is. It's basically like the Korn Ferry Tour.
Okay. So people might like chuckle and be like, well, that's cool, but how big of a deal is that? Brooks Koepka, big name, who decided to go over there. Mm-hmm. Prove to himself he could win, learn how to win golf tournaments. You're playing in all sorts of goofy conditions out there. It isn't quite as nicely manicured sometimes and as predictable as U.S. courses are on the PGA Tour. Koepka went over there and won a bunch of tournaments on the Challenge Tour and then kind of worked his way up and then became the Brooks Koepka that was a complete assassin in majors. But shout out to Palmer Jackson. Cruise to a victory. Awesome. You got a six-shot lead on the 18th hole. Craig, you're talking to the caddy. You relax. Hey, we're cruising in here. Give me the four iron. Let's just bring this. Let's just land this bird.
Yeah, he knocked it in there and knocked the birdie in on the last hole. Yeah, just kept the pedal down.
Is that how you would have handled that? Like, I guess he would have been up five at that point. He's just like, no, I just got to put my foot down on the gas pedal still.
Well, it's amazing, in which I don't know the exact situation of what kind of hole it was or anything like that, but Willie Hoover was caddying for him, both of them Hannistown members. Great guys, great talents. And Palmer, I mean, he has the ability to go low, you know, from his career at Notre Dame, in which, you know, all these kids, it's kind of funny. You know, you go play, they play great courses in college too, but they've all played courses that, you know, a little rough around the edges. And, you know, when they got it going good, they got it going good. So big shout out to him, because those types of wins, that can really jumpstart
you. Well, it's huge for him, because obviously the goal is to get to the DP World Tour. You get to the DP World Tour, you play well enough, you end up getting a promotion to the PGA Tour. That's how guys get their cards now. It's one of the many ways you can get your cards. He had missed cuts in two of his previous Hotel Planner Tour events. He jumped 142 places on what they call the Road to Mallorca rankings. He's now 15th. So if he wins again, then he's pretty much on the DP World Tour, and then you go from there, and then you start trying to carve out yourself a little career.
Yep.
It feels far away, but maybe it's not for a guy like Palmer Jackson, the Open Championship at Royal Portrush. I don't think I've ever asked you this, though. How much actual links-style golf have you played in your life?
Well,
totally different ball game. Ball on the ground, wind.
It actually suits me way better because my son makes fun of me because all these kids now, they can chip the ball high in the air, flop it. I grew up.
You like to bump and run it. You were chipping with an 8-iron.
Yeah, you saw me at Laurel Valley. Yeah, I'd love to. And only older guys like ourselves do that. Nobody does that anymore. They all chip with the same club. I like to use every one in my bag. And we did that because we played public courses that didn't have water necessarily on the greens, and you had to use an imagination of where am I going to land the ball to roll it up onto the green. And when the wind is blowing, you're in control of that ball when the ball's on the ground. You're not in control of it when it's up in the air. So as far as how much links golf have I played, I've never played overseas. That's on the bucket list. But we did play, like my junior year at IUP for regionals, we played in Indiana, in Indianapolis, and we played a place where they couldn't cut the greens for four straight days because the wind was blowing gusts up to 35, 40 miles an
hour. And they couldn't cut the greens?
No, because the ball, you couldn't, the ball.
Oh, you had to have it slow enough.
The wind was blowing. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I got you.
Imagine this, 206-yard par three, I had to hit driver.
I believe it.
490-yard par four, I could barely keep a driver and a wedge short of the green.
Really?
Yeah. It was that much downwind. It was crazy.
I it's my favorite tournament to watch, believe it or not, because I love the off hours are fun kind of to get into, especially like when our youngest, who turned three this past Monday, when he was born, it was basically right in that time frame. And so I was like, oh, he's 2 weeks old. I got to stay up with him. He's got to get fed. All right. We're throwing on the Open Championship here at three in the morning or whatever. I do love watching these guys have to try to play a different style of golf than what they play over here.
I agree.
Now, the European players are more used to it because they'll play more linksy type stuff, obviously. There's like the Alfred Dunhill links and all that.
Right.
Man, I love seeing – I think – let me put it this way. I think if you're a major winner who's won – maybe you've won a Masters, maybe you've won a U.S. Open. No shade at either of those tournaments. To me, though – you go way up in the are you a proper golfer kind of rankings if you win one of these to go along with other majors. Because remember, Seve could never really win U.S. Opens. It didn't suit him.
Right.
The Masters suited him. The Open Championship suited him, right?
Yep.
And a guy like Koepka, I know he's competed at Open Championships, and he obviously has the game. He's not won one, and it does not look like he will be in position to win one again because it seems like he's getting passed. But I think this is the are you a legit big-time golfer or not?
No,
it like because I think it tests a completely different thing. It's a mental test, and it's can you hit the shots, and they can't all just be moonshots that you send straight up in the air 280 yards away. That ball will get blown out of bounds or into the heather, and you will be in the junk.
No, you're 100% right. And not only that, how about when you turn it on, the first thing and you see a ball rolling, it looks like it's going down the turnpike.
I would love to play that for ego's sake, because if you stripe one and hit it straight, it might roll 400 yards.
So, and sometimes the fairways are faster than because they have to keep the green slow.
To hold the ball.
Correct.
And so, the fairways, they don't have to do it. If anything, that becomes more of a hazard. You send these fairways rolling burned out looking, but these guys are all ready to hit off of it.
And the interesting thing about those links are – If you happen to get that week where the wind doesn't blow,
they
kill it.
But one of my favorites of all time, I want to say it was at St. Andrews, but it might have been at Carnoustie, and I'm going to get it crossed up here, which one, at the Old Course or at Carnoustie, because Carnoustie gets put up there with Oakmont as hardest in the world. McIlroy went out in round one, shot 63. Oh, man. But then, even then, people said, well, he's got the bad side of the draw tomorrow. We already know what the weather. He shot 80.
Yeah,
and I just think that's the beauty of like playing those guys playing over there. People didn't even get that excited because they said, well, if he keeps it under 77 tomorrow, he'll have played a great round. When I think of links golf in one image from recent memory, like last 5 to 10 years, Cam Smith on the road hole trying to hold off Rory McIlroy and a couple others to win the Open Championship in 2019, and he putted the ball around the road bunker.
Oh.
Yeah. You remember that? He putted it. He basically played to have a 20, nah, not even, like a 15 footer for par because he's a great putter. And especially back then, he was really hot with the putter. Had no shot, in his opinion. Couldn't flop one up and over it because if you leave it in the road bunker, goodbye tournament. Putted the ball around the road bunker and then sank a 15 footer. To me, that is the essence of what that tournament is all about.
Yeah, that's deep. That is neat. How about, are you old enough to remember Jean Vandeveld?
Oh yeah, that was prime for me. I was 14.
Oh, that was one of the.
I think was it Peter Alice who used to do the commentary on those?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh my God, the commentary from him. I've heard the commentary track because I didn't remember it.
Peter Alice and Ben Wright.
Yeah, Peter. It was definitely Peter Alice was doing the commentary, and he just said, "What? This is not funny." You know, he's this pretty. You know, what are we doing? Somebody go get this man. Shake some sense into him. Like just tragic. Vandeveld, by the way. The fact that he even made the putt to get into the playoffs is funny. Obviously, lowest moment of his career. Everything I've heard is, though, he like kind of took it in stride as much as you could, like just butchering a hole like that. The shot of him in the burn with his shoes off, is he going to do it? Is he going to try to hit their shot? Just ridiculous. Oh,
and they did, and then he was pumping up the crowd.
It was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
He had a bad break on that hole beyond his bad management, but I think like one of his shots hit something that if it had not hit it, I think he would have been in a much easier spot to like end up making double, I think.
Yeah, I think
like second or third shot hit something.
Well, I think it deflected. Didn't it deflect off the stands and then end up in the burn?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if it would have ended up in the stands, he probably would have
got relief.
Correct.
Yes.
Yep. Wild. But those guys, you talk about Peter Alice and Ben Wright, it's kind of like the Archie Bunker, Fred Sanford and son. You know, they said stuff on the golf.
Well, Alice was, I always loved Alice, can't especially. Say. I always loved Peter Alice, especially because those British commentators, they also can somehow get away with being way more direct and harsh.
Yes.
Oh, just a dreadful shot. Oh, terrible. What was he thinking? What could possibly be going through his mind?
Their tone is beautiful.
Well, yeah, if Jim Nantz said that, like, Morikawa's calling the manager, you know what I mean? He's like, hey, he can't say that about me.
Oh, I know.
Just a dreadful shot.
It is.
Make a quick pick. I'm going to go. I don't think we made you do that last week because we were Chestnut Ridge. We made them pick. So I got to make you make your pick now because it'll be the pick for our show. You want to make a completely different pick with Hathorn. You can do that. But who do you got?
Who you got for the Open?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Where is Portrush?
Northern Ireland.
It's Ireland?
Northern Ireland, I believe. That's Rory's. Remember, Rory went OB on his. He was all pressure-packed. Yeah. So.
Wow. I'm going to make an odd one. I'm going to go with an old guy.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Justin Rose.
Pretty good form of late.
Yeah, when he does, seems to be doing well in the majors. I mean,
pretty
now,
good form.
Throw Oakmont out. Oakmont's just hard. But all the other ones, I mean, almost won the Masters. He seems to do pretty well. But the best part about that tournament is, too, there'll be somebody's name on the top of that leaderboard after round one or round two.
That's a funny one.
Yeah, you and I'll look at each other and go, who is that?
My dad does not get like super into sports. His biggest regret is when Watson didn't close the job at 59 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Got the bad bounce, hit it too good.
Yep.
Over the green, left the putt way short. My dad still gets bummed out about that.
That was amazing, though.
I'm going to go with, I'm looking right now. I think there's some very tempting names to pick. Like, I think Hovland's flash in big-time form.
Yep.
Jason Day's name keeps jumping out to me. I'm going to take somebody that's off the board here. I'm not going to take Scheffler or Xander's not been playing that well. All right, here's my prediction. People actually get excited because it looks like Jordan Spieth is in contention, and people love it when Spieth contends. The actual winner, however, is going to be, drumroll please, Russell Henley.
Oh, Russell Henley.
Russell Henley. You wanted a name off the board? Yeah. I give you a great iron player. I give you a rock solid golfer. I give you your 153rd Open champion.
Yeah.
Russell Henley.
You know, the one thing we forgot to talk about the Open? We turn it on. We're getting ready to go golf over here It's going to be 90-some degrees, and those guys will have
sweaters,
toboggans, and sweaters.
Oh, yeah. I know. I don't want to think about it.
That gives you a chill. I mean, anybody that's played golf when it's that cold, oh, man, it's hard enough already, but when it's cold,
even worse.
Good luck.
Craig, I'll be in Pinehurst next week this time. I'll be attempting. My goal is to break 90 at number two. Keep it in the fairway. Keep it somewhat in play. Listen to my caddy at all times.
The tough part there, partner, is those greens.
Turtle
if you
backs.
Take a cereal bowl and turn it upside down, that's where you're trying to land it on.
That's why I said I'm going to try to listen to that caddy of mine.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, you'll be using your putter off the green, too.
Yes, I will be.
Yep.
Yes, I will be. I won't be taking that 58 degree every
no.
time.
No.
In your honor, I will try to hit some imaginative shots around the green. He's Craig Mankins. I'm Chris Muller. This was Going Low. Panther Insider Show with Pat Bostic is next on 93.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're a few weeks into the new year, and I want to check in. How are those lifestyle resets going? Maybe you're tightening up your exercise routine, finally learning that new skill, or attempting to eat a bit healthier. We all know that starting the year strong is a lot easier and much more delicious when you have the right fuel. That's where Omaha Steaks come in. Stay satisfied, keep your energy up, and fuel your daily routine with premium portion proteins delivered right to your door. Omaha Steaks have been America's original butcher since 1917. We're talking about five generations of uncompromising quality, backed by an unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. Their variety is unmatched. From handcrafted USDA-certified tender steaks to gourmet burgers, seafood, and versatile chicken, every steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand-cut by master butchers. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code T-Bone at checkout. That's OMAHASteaks.com. Promo code T-Bone. Terms apply. See site for details.
Have you been diagnosed with head or neck cancer? At Kansas City Proton Institute, we're delivering the future of cancer care with state-of-the-art proton therapy right here in KC. Proton therapy means increased precision, reducing side effects like dry mouth, difficulty swallowing, and the loss of taste as compared to conventional radiation. If you've been diagnosed, don't wait. Get your second opinion today and see KC's largest, most experienced proton therapy team. Visit kcpi.com, Kansas City Proton Institute, where you see the best in KC.